Good Saturday morning to everybody. Welcome to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show, along with Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust. I am Gary Byron. Steve, my goodness, my friend. I don't think I've seen you since last year, since 2021. You've been in Florida for like 3 months.
That is correct. That is correct. And the good news is that I'm back.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you back. Looks like you got a little color.
Yep. And I'll tell you, though, working in a different environment is healthy for everyone. And one suggestion is every one of us should take a chance or take some time off or work in a different environment and then come back. That is the great thing. And I'm really full of ideas and directions in helping the Connecticut community grow again in healthcare issues.
That's awesome. But listen, please tell me you took a few days for yourself while you're down in Florida for 3 months. I know you're a workaholic, Steve, but tell me that, please, for the love of God, tell me you just didn't work.
Well, in my backyard is the 14th hole on a golf course. So believe me, I've had the chance to enjoy the good old outdoors.
Good. Well, it's good to see you in person nonetheless. Our guests this morning, they probably have been on this show more than anybody else. They really need no introductions, but because it's radio, I will fill you in. Mark Shapiro is the Director of Clinical Operations with PharmD, PBIRX. Nabil Khan, Senior Clinical Specialist, PharmD. From PBIRX, it's our old pals, Mark and Nabil. Hey, guys, good morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning.
And very similar to Steve Glick, where, of course, we know why he hasn't been around. But I'm trying to think. You guys were like every 6 weeks. And then when was the last time that you were here, that you were on with
us? I'm guessing Thanksgiving.
Has it been that long?
It's been a while, yeah. But we're back. We are here.
Wow, that seems so long ago.
Yeah.
This is like the last week of March. This is, holy cow. I believe it. I take you at your word. So, please, before we even begin, I could only imagine in that duration of time, you guys have been up to a lot, right?
You know it, Gary, just same as you.
No, I like to think that your job is a lot more important than mine.
It depends on who you ask, I guess.
Well, thank you. But you're out there saving lives and coming up with some good meds for people, right?
Well, PBIRX, we pride ourselves in being the premier pharmacy benefit auditing and consulting firm, helping our clients across different industries, employer groups, hospitals,
right.
Municipalities, just to name a few, helping them navigate the complex world of pharmacy benefits and the pharmacy being the fastest growing portion of healthcare spend and
most complex, unregulated at the same time.
Is that
right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. What are the current rates of new infections and hospitalizations and deaths here in the U.S. related to specifically to COVID? Let's start with that.
Yeah, so fortunately, we've seen it be on the downward swing after a spike with Omicron a couple months ago. In January, really, we saw elevated cases and hospitalizations, and that subsided significantly over the last few weeks. Although now, of course, I'm sure you're familiar with the stealth Omicron variant, but we'll get into that. But things overall are settling down. There's no states require indoor mask mandates any longer, although some settings like travel, transportation hubs and hospitals, healthcare settings still do or can require. But, schools, for the most part, have done away with those and a lot of progress.
I'm thinking that maybe not so much like transportation hubs or airplanes down the road, but I'm thinking certainly hospitals. I don't see them ever doing away with masks. What do you think? Do you agree, or do you think at some point they will?
I would think let's not forget a hospital is a big institution, the entire institution.
Sure.
I could see them, not the whole institution, but certain settings, certain wards, that it would become mandatory.
I think that's what I'm saying. I don't think they'll ever do away with them, ever.
Yeah. And because there's not only this, there are other, not just variants, but there's always that chance that something else will pop up on the horizon.
Well, speaking of which, this new BA2 variant, also known as what you had just referred to a moment ago, this Omicron, the stealth Omicron, twin turbo supercharged. Yes, coming to a dealership near you. Is this going to cause another surge, you think?
You know, just quickly with the name, it was a little bit more difficult for scientists and researchers to identify. That's where they came up with the stealth Omicron. And it's also known as BA2 as compared to the BA1 variant, with which Omicron was and is still the dominant strain. BA2 is now accounting for about 35% of cases in the U.S.
Distinguish the two. What's the difference between BA1 and BA2 as far as symptoms are concerned?
Okay, so structurally, just a small modification, but very similar in terms of the severity of disease it can cause in hospitalization, as we've seen in Asia and parts of Europe that often are predictors of what is to come in the U.S. But it is deemed to be more transmissible compared to the BA1, the original Omicron variant. But between the combination of a lot of people recovering from COVID with natural immunity, as well as we know over two-thirds of Americans are fully vaccinated at this point. Close to 90% have received at least one vaccination, at least one dose. So between all those and previous infection, cases, I could be wrong, but for the most part, we're well protected. Cases could go up, but severity and hospitalizations are not expected to as much.
But the Omicron variant, the original Omicron variant that was more prevalent in around Christmas time, January or whatever, was it November, December, January, that when you really heard, the Delta was kind of on its way out and Omicron was always in the news. That the word anyway that I was receiving was while it was nowhere near as potent as its predecessor, Delta. Mm-hmm. It was much more easily transmittable. And do you see this BA.2, this stealth Omicron, even more transmissible than the highly transmissible original Omicron? Boy, I need a roadmap for all this. You're not confused with my question, are you? And if you are, I certainly would understand and I can restate it.
I wouldn't say confused. I'd say it's difficult to answer just because, yes, we do know the Omicron was much more transmissible, as you said, mm-hmm. and less virulent than the Delta. But whether how this one will stack up against the Omicron, a.k.a. the, I forget how you phrased it, Nabil, but the BA2, yeah. The stealth Omicron, again, time will tell. Unfortunately, it's hard to predict, and I don't want to step out of our bounds here.
Well, and the CDC really didn't give it much seriousness. I mean, didn't they change their, where instead of quarantining for 5 days, originally it was like, 10 days, and it went down to 5, and then it was 3 days. I was like, wow, this must really not be that bad. I mean, you could stay home with the flu or with a cold for 3 days. Is this more serious, or is this, it just seems like every variant that comes out is not as bad as its predecessor?
I think that goes back to what Nabil just said. It's just our coverage of the natural immunity as well as the vaccines that we've received. Okay. A lot of people have coverage now, so I don't think we'll see that virulence, at least not with this variant.
Gotcha. So what's the latest on boosters? What I heard this week is that there's going to be a fourth booster, right?
So Pfizer and Moderna recently have submitted their applications to the FDA for consideration. Pfizer's submitted for senior adults 65 and older, and Moderna has applied for all adults a fourth booster. So a lot of that's based on real-world data that shows the immunity wanes over time. I think it'll be a matter of analysis of the data to determine if and when it's necessary. It's also expanded somewhat with the age groups. Right now, children 5 and over can receive a vaccine through Pfizer, their pediatric dose. those. Moderna is looking to submit an application for those, you know, children and even possibly younger than five. So a lot remains to be seen.
These are not a vulnerable demographic, though, at 5 years old. Even younger than five, that's the least vulnerable, if I'm not mistaken.
Least vulnerable in general, but you know, if you look at the flu shot, that's approved for anyone 6 months of age and older. So you know, this is you know, really kind of
right. But you can prevent. It's more prone for all walks of life. Where I think the coronavirus is not as prone for children that age, though. Is that?
Yeah,
accurate. Or
well, when you say prone, I just want to differentiate. You know, the severity is usually not as severe with younger children. Although there are, you know, even if it's 1 in 1,000, we'll have a hospitalization. If that's something we can prevent, you know, and with that, you know, comparing the risk and reward, just like with any other drug or vaccine, you know, it would be up to the official, you know, CDC and FDA to determine. But it seems like, you know, back to the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So, you know, why not prevent something from circulating and causing havoc rather than treating after the fact?
And I think I've asked you this, but it's been so long. Could the COVID-19 vaccine eventually become an annual shot? Like, you know, like the flu is. Like where it's a different one every year and they're just trying to guess which strain it's going to be. And you know.
Yeah, it's very possible, whether that's a six-month shot, once a year, something like tetanus every 10 years. I think that'll be determined with the data that's collected over time. And, you know, whether it's all people or just those that are immunocompromised or those that are have comorbidities, you know, it remains to be determined, but there's a lot of things to consider. It's very possible, though. You know, for also Novavax and Moderna, they're looking at combination vaccines of flu and COVID. Yeah. So you know, something like that is possible.
Yeah, that was my next question. Do you foresee a hybrid between a flu shot and a COVID shot? And it sounds like it's on the horizon, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, that's in the works. We'll see.
Yeah. There's got to be links, though. I would say that between this, the COVID infection and like a new diagnosis of diabetes, do you see a link there? Or
yeah, that's I'm glad you brought that up. That's really something that's been emerging. We know with COVID, it can cause a lot of the inflammatory responses, so cardiac conditions, problems with respiration affecting the lungs, what they call brain fog and cognitive ability after recovering. you might have, you say you have
brain,
that
brain fog. Are you saying maybe I have some of this? So yeah. I gotta get diagnosed. Who doesn't get a little brain fog? I lead the pack when it comes to brain fog.
Yeah.
Stop that!
Problems with sleep. Those are all, you know, more well-recognized at this point, but there's some new information coming out about COVID and the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19, possibly changing the beta cells in the pancreas, and the pancreas is really involved with insulin production. So they're finding that those that were hospitalized with COVID are developing or being diagnosed with the new type 2 diabetes diagnosis at a much larger rate compared to regular or not regular, but those that are not have been diagnosed with COVID-19 recently. So a lot remains to be seen. There's some speculation that it's changing the way the you know, insulin is produced and regulated and handled within our body. But you know, it's just something else that we're going to keep our eye on.
Might be other comorbidities too, but that's the one we're aware of right now.
All right. Those are nice shirts, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The PBIRX shirts. Those are snazzy. Wow. Look at them.
We'll get you one.
Please. Every time I see one, I see the other. You guys hang out and you know, outside of here too? Or do you work in the same office? And
yeah, we're in close quarters, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
You guys make appearances together? Like, you get one, you get the other?
That's it. Combination package.
Ah.
Yeah.
Two
first.
Just like Ryan Roberts and I. The one who was shooting me dirty looks when it came to the talking about brain fog that I get. the Simon and Garfunkel. The Hall and Oates of men.
Right.
What is the threat to cybersecurity at hospitals, let's say? Right here in the U.S., especially now with, you know, the war going on in the Ukraine.
Well, we've heard the president say, obviously the war in Ukraine is going on, and they've said that there might be Russian reaction, by cyber attacks across our industry.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And one thing we have to keep in mind specific to hospitals, prior to all this, we've had a lot of ransomware attacks. The hospitals tend to have antiquated IT systems.
Why?
And I wish I knew. And they do not, this is a generalization, of course, but they have antiquated IT systems. They use older systems. They don't dedicate a lot of money to it. And so you can imagine if a hospital is suddenly shut down that they don't have access to all their computer records, which everybody is gearing to, it becomes a very, very hard environment for which them to operate till they can respond to that and get by it. So it is a concern, and it is out there.
Yeah, typically, hospitals spend about 5% of their IT budgets on cybersecurity.
That's it? 5%, that's typical, a whopping
yeah.
5%.
Yeah, so that's something that needs to be addressed as things change, and you know they're moving off the cloud, you know, into a cloud kind of a server, which is has some advantages, but also more prone to cyber attacks, and also the labor shortages here. A lot of the IT professionals that are well versed and trained in the hospital systems across the country have left the workforce or left the hospitals to pursue other opportunities that we've seen with nurses and physicians, you know, in general, leaving the hospital setting. So something that we really need to focus on as a country to beefing up our security.
You would think this would be a top two or three priority would be the security of their system here. You know, it just doesn't. I think there'd be more. They take it more seriousness.
I think when you said you would think, that pretty well summed it up. It's it should be something of major concern, and it should be something we demand more. But unfortunately, it is not. And let's hope the worst doesn't come to pass.
Let's hope. But, we both know that hoping is nice. Sadly, though, it doesn't always materialize. You know, I mean, there are people who just want to see us fail. And the easiest way to it's a new way of global warfare, right? It's cyber attacks, you know, and getting into. And I mean, look, the U.S. Treasury and anybody, I don't know if anybody remembers this, about 2 years ago. The Russians hacked into the U.S. Treasury. It's a U.S. It's a federal government department. You know, that's serious. So if you can do that, you think it's all encrypted, and you think it would take the masterminds to be able to crack that. And they were, if they can get into that, they can get into hospitals. You know, I would think. Folks, you are listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show, along with Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. Our guest this morning. Some old, familiar voices. Well, not old. You know, I'm just saying longtime friends of this show. That's all. Mark Shapiro, Director of Clinical Operations, Nabil Khan, Senior Clinical Specialist for PBIRX. Now that spring is here, at least on the calendar, I know it's been a chilly few days here lately, but what are the most effective ways to treat and prevent allergies? Because I'm starting to notice allergies are starting to pop up. Once we get into like April, May, I mean, they're going to be running rampant. So what can we learn ahead of time so we can be a little more proactive here?
Well, like you said, the season is starting now.
Yeah.
And it's seasonal allergies that we're talking about here. And these are allergies your immune system just pumps up. And it's not harmful, but it is intensely irritating. And about 50 million Americans get seasonal allergies. And like you said, spring to summer is the very active time for it. And this would be pollen in the air. And what can we do? A lot of opportunity out. Not opportunity, but a lot of effective treatments out there. Whereas in the past, many treatments were prescription. Today, we have a lot of over-the-counter. Our recommendation to yourselves, we're not going to give you a step-by-step right now. Go to your local pharmacist. Pharmacist is a great resource for knowledge. Tell them your symptoms, and they can direct you. There's over-the-counter pills. There's over-the-counter nasal sprays. Many of these used to be prescription. Now they're low-cost generics. The tablets are non-sedating once a day.
Well, like Benadryl?
Benadryl is an old example, which in its day was wonderful, and it's wonderful for maybe an immediate severe allergic reaction, but not for a seasonal allergy. It causes drowsiness. In fact, they use it as a sleeping drug on the side. So,
right.
If nothing else is in the medicine cabinet, grab it. But no, that's not the ideal. But we do have something like, I don't like using brand names, but I'll use a generic name, loratadine or cetrazine. And I can see you rolling your eyes.
I don't know those names.
These are once a day non-sedating antihistamines.
Claritin? Is that one?
The generic for that is one of them. Yeah, loratadine is out there. And these are wonderful antihistamines that can help treat, maintain, or treat and decrease the severity. If it's a windy day, listen to the pollen counts. If you're somebody susceptible, listen to the pollen counts in the radio. Try not to go out there. If you have to go out there, wear a hat, wear sunglasses. Avoid that immediate contact of the pollen. And but this is the season. Tis upon us. And unfortunately, after this, we'll have grass. With the summer season, will be another. Yeah. So the seasonal allergies will continue a bit. They are here.
I was talking with a buddy of mine who details cars. He says, you know, he goes, when am I going to get to your car? And I go, hey, when do you have time? And he goes, well, don't come to me in May or June. And I go, really busy then? He goes, well, yeah, but I'll detail your car. It'll look nice and like brand new. Probably look just like you bought, like when you bought it and drove it off the lot. He goes, but then you wake up the next morning, you got this green film back. Mm. He really goes, you're right back at square one. And I go, that's true. That's all the pollens.
Pollen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Good for his
that's
business.
True.
So, hey, make a weekly appointment.
Say, that's the time to do it.
I thought it's funny that you say that, Neville, because I'm like, you can't be so honest with some people. You're taking money out of your pocket. He goes, well, I'm telling you because you're my friend, and I don't want you to come back to me the next day and go, hey!
Yeah.
You know? I go,
imagine what he doesn't tell his friends.
Yeah,
friend,
exactly.
Friends, you know?
Right.
Good to have friends.
Season. Come on in.
No, but listen, let's face it. I mean, we're heading into the season, as you were just saying.
Yeah.
Mark, you're going to be spending more time outdoors, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And we're New Englanders. We just had our version of winter, you know, sometimes worse, sometimes better. We want to get out there.
That's so, Mark, what are the most effective ways then? You know, I mean, I'm thinking like Lyme disease is out there. How can Lyme disease can actually be pretty serious.
Mm.
Yeah.
What can we do to help either treat it or, my goodness, we can just prevent it altogether?
Well, we can't prevent it altogether, but we can treat it. We can be aware. We can mitigate it. And so it's, again, this time of season, it's coming up. It starts late spring. It goes through the early summer. And what it is, it's passed on by deer ticks. And where do we get it a lot of times? Like you just mentioned, weather's getting warmer. We're getting out there. It's in our backyards. Some of us will get out into nature a little bit, start taking some walks, hikes, and what have you. What can you do if it's your backyard? Just try and prevent it. The ticks like to be in high grasses and to weeds. If you have those, try and trim those back. If you have play sets, if you have fire pits, picnic areas, try and keep the grass low around there. Maybe put a border around there just to prevent that tick from getting close. If you're a hiker, I happen to be a hiker, keep away from the shorts, keep away from the sandals when you're out there. Cover as much skin as you can. There's a product, an insect repellent with a chemical called DEET, which is just the acronym.
Oh, yeah, DEET, yes.
Try and get some 30% DEET.
Okay.
It's available everywhere. Put that on when you come home. Give yourself a little body check. Sounds a little awkward, but look to see if you have any ticks.
I'll never forget a few years ago. I was up on a mountain doing some hiking and actually cleaning up, doing some environmental work and cleaning up some of the crap that people were.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when people litter and stuff like that. So I wake up the next morning. I take a shower. I find not just one, but two deer ticks on me. And I'm like, oh, yesterday, that trap. Of course, that's where I got it from. Immediately went to like when I was walk-in medical. Now it's a Sunday. So I go to a walk-in medical center. I talked to a doctor, and I'm like, you know, I'm looking stuff up on the internet, and I'm, you know, it's got me. If you see a bullseye, you know, and it's been if another one is saying if it's been over 24 hours, there's some sites that'll put the fear of death into you, which I won't mention them. A lot of, I think you know what they are, the doctor was like, Gary, you're fine, calm down. Here, I've got something for you. Take this, and we're all set. So
yeah, usually an antibiotic.
Yes,
a few days, right?
Exactly. That's what she prescribed. We're running out of time. One more question for you, just really quick. And we're going to have you back in. My goodness, we got to get you back to being regulars here. Now, this is getting a little way ahead of myself. We just started spring, but summer, sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Some important things to know about sunscreen. We can talk more about this in depth maybe the next time you come back. But
So, quick version, buy it, use it.
You don't have to be that quick.
Yeah.
Come on, Mark. Wow.
I'm going to return to that. Buy it, use it. No, but if you have an HSA account, which is a pre-tax account for your insurance dollars, it's usually covered. If you have an FSA, it's covered. As Nabil said earlier, an ounce of prevention is a pound of
Of
cure. Thank you. I should remember that. But it's you have SPF factors out there. That's your major determinant. You have any all the numbers all over the place. 15 to 50 is your goal. If you're light-skinned, go 30 to 50. If you're darker-skinned, go 15. I'm going to call you for a 30, myself too. Put it on. Don't listen to the commercials. Don't listen to the advertisements that you leave it on once. I don't care what they say.
Oh, I never heard
If you're
that.
Out in the water, if you're sweating, if you're in doubt, reapply it. Put it on 15 to 30 minutes before you go out.
Oh.
And if worst place to be as far as sun glare and increases the intensity of the sun is the beach, and I'm not saying don't go to the beach, just let's be cautious about it. Let's get that sunscreen.
You're not going to convince people not to go to the beach.
No, I want to be there.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to lie to you.
Beach for myself. No,
it's a responsible way to enjoy it.
Did you say, like, some of them will advertise they're waterproof, or, you know, you can go in the water with them, but are you saying that that's not true? Or
it's true for a limited period of time, and I think the advertisements will have you think that it's true for an extended period of time, and what I'm saying is, if in doubt, if you feel, if you spent a lot of time in the water, not just a quick splash or something like that, you were surf, you know, body surfing, whatever, put it on again. No harm done.
Let's bring Steve Glick back into the fold here. Talk about a person who spent some time at the beaches over the last 3 months. I mean, the Florida beaches, by the way, who also looks like he had some sun, and I hope you're wearing sunscreen.
I've been hanging 10 for a long time.
Did you have sunscreen on while you were down in FLA?
I take chances.
Well, that's not good, right? I mean, it's melanoma, right? Where people that's serious stuff.
There's some serious conditions.
The sun is stronger now than back even 30 years ago. Yeah. You know, 20 years ago even.
There's no question. Protection is so important in today's world.
That's what my doctor once told me. All right, all types of. Here he is again, Ryan. My producer is just shooting me a look. You have to wear protection. It is true. I really want to thank our guests this morning. I love when they are here. Love it. Let's go back on that old schedule. Like every 6 weeks, we get them back on.
Well, we'll talk about it.
All
but
right.
They are welcome.
Mark Shapiro.
Glad to be here.
Clinical
Although I need a new shirt.
He said he's going to bring some.
Bring shirts.
Mark Shapiro, Clinical Director, Nabil Khan, Senior Clinical Specialist. It's for PBIRX. You can check out their website at PBIRX.com. For Chamber Insurance Trust, it's an easy website. It's CITRUST.com. And the phone number for Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer, is toll-free 800-953-4467. Again, toll-free 800-953-4467. For Steve Glick, I'm Gary Byron. Thanks so much for listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long.